We go live to Boston, Massachusetts, where we're joined by our good friend. He's the voice of the Boston Bruins on the New England Sports Network, Jack Edwards. Jack, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Well, boys, it's been quite a week, hasn't it?
Well, you said it, Jack. I mean, and you're there and you're on the ground, so we can't even imagine the kind of week that it's been. First of all, everybody's good and safe with you?
Yeah, everybody's good. You know, very fortunate that of all the people I know in the world of sports and all the sports fans, that nobody was near Boylston Street when the bombs went off on Monday. And, you know, luckily, I am not directly connected to any of the unfortunates who were injured or killed in the aftermath. So I'm very fortunate that way personally, but we're all in their debt. You know, I don't think any of us ever will forget what so many people have given and how many innocent victims there were of just this horrible, horrible chapter in Boston's history.
Absolutely. Well said there, Jack. You know, I mean, we're not going to spend the whole time talking about it. We'll talk about the Bruins, you know, a little bit. You know, can you just sort of walk us through the emotions of yesterday? I mean, you know, sort of the entire city being locked down and the, you know, stay inside order in place?
Yeah, it was very, very strange. You know, Boston is such a vibrant city. It's so diverse. It's and it's so interestingly active. One of the interesting things about Boston is that even though it's a major city in terms of population, it tends to be rather quiet. But we noticed even on Wednesday, the night that the Bruins did have the game against Buffalo, that people were not conversant in the same way that they normally were. And frankly, the only thing that I had ever experienced that was anything like it was the day after the Olympic bombing in 1996 in Atlanta, where you could tell everyone was on his guard, that everyone was looking at every trash can with suspicion, that everybody was kind of looking out the side of his eyes to see if there was something that might not be normal. And there was no one who was totally on center that day, except maybe members of law enforcement and emergency services who were totally focused and doing their jobs 24/7. It was much that way yesterday, even though there was no one on the street. And even this morning, you know, except for the occasional siren and a little bit of foot traffic, the city's pretty much abandoned. There are a lot of double-parked emergency services personnel and people. Like, I'm near City Hall Plaza right now, and the center sidewalk between the sides of Cambridge Street, which is the main three lanes in each direction thoroughfare, is full of cars that have license plates from all over the eastern United States, obviously regional and federal emergency personnel who've come to Boston and just had to dump their cars anywhere they could when they got here and signed on for immediate 24/7 duty.
Obviously, there's the relief now that this is, you know, the immediate threat of this seems to be over. You know, the emotion, obviously, of the game Wednesday night, and now you got sort of that same emotion that's going to be you know, today during the Bruins Penguins game. You know, how wearing is that, both on you know, the city, the players, yourself? You know, is it just sort of, or is there a big release off your shoulders now?
Well, you know, a lot of people are very connected to the heritage of Boston and to New England, either directly through their family lines or just having spent most of their lives here. It's hard not to get sucked into it when on a daily basis you walk past the graves of people who changed world history by facing down the English crown in the 1700s, and it does inspire a lot of people. This is the place that had the Minutemen, you know, who were ready to respond on a moment's notice for the better good of everyone, despite the obvious sacrifices that they might have to make. And that is really part of the spirit of Boston. And I'm not saying that it's unique, that there aren't people who do this in every city on Earth, especially in North America, where we've seen so much selflessness in the U.S. and Canada. And I'm not claiming that Boston has a monopoly on that by any means. But part of the character of being a Bostonian is to set your jaw and keep going forward and to make it make you stronger, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much you have to blink back the tears. And that's the spirit that's in this city right now. And personally, selfishly, I really hope that unknowingly Bruins fans began a tradition on Wednesday night. You know, the seventh inning stretch in baseball started when a U.S. president of about 100 years ago went to a baseball game and just casually got up to stretch in the middle of the seventh inning. And, you know, it wasn't planned. It wasn't anything that was orchestrated. He just did it. And in respect to him, everybody in the stands stood up. And from that day forward, it became a tradition in Major League Baseball. I'm hoping, and I have no idea if this is going to happen or not, but I'm hoping that Bruins fans sing the national anthem wholeheartedly, and that they learn the words to the Canadian anthem as well, and that when there is a Canadian team visiting, that they sing that wholeheartedly too. Because when you stand and sing, it brings you together, it unites your souls, and there is that sense of purpose that we're really feeling in Boston these days right now, that we're never going to forget the people who died and the people who've been so grievously injured, but we all know that together we have to carry on and that we have to help each other get there.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're joined by Jack Edwards, the voice of the Boston Bruins, on the New England Sports Network.
Yeah, transitioning to the Bruins, not an easy transition, Jack, but transitioning to the team, along the same lines of what you're talking about, you talk about the spirit of Boston. Do you see, you know the players, and you've been around the team, obviously, for a long time, do you see the players kind of taking on that spirit and maybe uniting more than they had? And they're a close team, a close-knit team anyways, but do you see them maybe taking on that cause and playing a little bit harder down the stretch and through the playoffs?
Yeah, this team has been bamboozled by its schedule, and everybody has had an intense schedule this year, so the Bruins don't have a special excuse, and they don't make that excuse for themselves. But when you see against the Canadians about a week and a half ago and against Buffalo on Wednesday night, an over-the-glass delay of game penalty, and in both games, the Bruins give up a power play goal in the final minute of regulation and lose the game in a shootout. When a pattern like that begins to appear against the team that has led the league in penalty kill all season long, you can easily begin to trace it to mental mistakes. Mental mistakes are more often than not a result of physical fatigue. Whether the players want to admit it or not, they are crushed by this schedule, and all teams are. You know, I'm sure you guys have seen it from the Jets. I'm sure that that even as good as the Penguins have been, that Pittsburgh fans have seen it from them. Teams are making mistakes that they never, ever make when they're sharp. One bizarre possible offshoot of these canceled games this week may be that the Bruins are slightly more rested now than they have been in a long time, and that will allow them to be mentally sharper. You know, I give you a couple of examples, and maybe just one to keep it short. But Anton Khudobin on Wednesday night, the Bruins' backup goalie, the Bruins are skating 4-6 because Buffalo has the power play. He makes an easy save on about a 50-foot shot, and Zdeno Chara is standing immediately to his left, maybe 6 feet away. And instead of dumping the puck out of his glove and giving it to Chara so he can ice the puck or even shoot at the open goal from the Boston goal line, he freezes it and takes a defensive zone faceoff. Buffalo wins the faceoff and goes on to score the game-tying goal. That's just a mental mistake. That's just a silly mental mistake to make. And I think that you've seen more and more of that from every team in the NHL. But, for us, the Bruins get the most attention. So, you know, that's where we see it most obviously, and maybe they're a little bit sharper because of this rest.
Jack, sticking on the ice, the Bruins are going to host the Pittsburgh Penguins in less than 3 hours. There have been reports that Milan Lucic might not play and Carl Soderberg might get into the lineup for his first game. Do you know if that's going to happen and if there are going to be any other line changes this afternoon for the Boston Bruins?
Unless there's something unforeseen, that's exactly what's going to happen. Lucic is going to get scratched, and Soderberg is going to go in, and that's good on a couple of fronts. Number one, it sends a message that nobody's safe. Number two, maybe Lucic gets to see the game from way up above, and he realizes that he has to be better, and he has a little bit more time when he has the puck, and he's got to keep moving his feet. So if you can take notes really quickly, it looks like this is what's going to be the Bruins' lines. Marchand, Bergeron, and Sagan are back together again. When they were right in the middle of the season, they were about as good as any line in the NHL. Daniel Paille is going to get the first chance on David Krejci's left with Nathan Horton right. But we've also seen a lot of Jágr and Krejci in the last week or so in different combinations. They've played together on the Czech national team, and they've done some magical things in international play, especially the Olympics. So you might see more of that. But it's going to start out with Paille left, Krejci center, and Horton right. Soderberg, in his first North American game, and that's the big asterisk, because he's been a successful player in Europe, but let's not forget that's a 100-foot wide sheet, and competition for the puck is nowhere near what it is in the NHL. Soderberg is going to go with Chris Kelly and Jágr, and then Gregory Campbell, instead of playing center, is going to move to left, because the Bruins feel that Rich Peverly's speed is better served at center than it is on the wing. So Campbell's going to be left side, Peverly center, and Sean Thornton on the right. And then the Bruins are... I don't know exactly what their defensive pairs are going to be, but I would imagine Redden's going to come back out of the game after playing pretty well on Wednesday night. But I don't think he's going to be rewarded for it. I think he's going to come out and Barkowski's going to come back in. But I'll be tweeting it just before game time at Real Jack Edwards. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, you'll see a picture of my chart just before the puck drop.
People should be following you anyways, Jack.
We'll tweet it. We'll tweet it out, Jack. I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned the defenseman there, and before the trade deadline and, you know, coming through the whole season, I thought, you know, Dougie Hamilton's really been an impressive rookie overall. But I thought the Bruins may add somebody to maybe take his spot or at least push him down the depth chart, just because having such a young player in your top four is somewhat risky. The Bruins opted not to add anything. You know, you mentioned Redden, and he played well last game, but nobody really is a top four bona fide NHL defenseman. And then this past week and a half or so, Hamilton's been a healthy scratch a couple of times. Is he really important to how far the Bruins can take this in the playoffs?
Yes and no. He's going to be important because he can give you a little bit of X-factor offense, and he does move the puck pretty confidently and pretty well in the power play. Claude Julien, for good reason, doesn't invest a lot of trust in NHL players who've played fewer than 100 games, and Hamilton certainly fits into that category. Hamilton is learning very rapidly. Everyone is very pleased with his progress. But the fact of the matter is that it's hard to think of a first-year NHL defenseman who could play shutdown minutes in the most important parts of playoff games and not give people a little bit of a stomachache while he's out on the ice, because it's a matter of experience, of not having seen and been there and done that. And that's simply the case with Dougie Hamilton. The Bruins really, really wanted Mark Streit, but because John Tavares and Matt Molson and Brad Boyes got it going and the Islanders caught fire and found some secondary scoring, Streit was not available, because it looks like the Islanders are going to make the playoffs in the first time since who can remember when. But that was their hope, that they could pick up a guy who could play two-way hockey and also really be an offensive upside, which Streit certainly could be. You know, just stick this in your cap. Don't be at all surprised if the Bruins really go hard after Mark Streit in the offseason, because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent.
Jack Edwards, he's the voice of the Boston Bruins on the New England Sports Network. Jack, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Enjoy the game, the Bruins-Penguins, as life sort of returns somewhat to normalcy in the Boston region. And, of course, our thoughts are with yourself and with the entire city of Boston.
Thanks so much, guys. We're the lucky ones when sports is the most important thing in our day, huh?
Absolutely. 100% right about that. Take care, Jack.